All right. I'm looking. I'm going to try to embarrass Brandon a little bit this morning. I met Brandon before me and him were teamed up here at Meridian. He was a featured speaker at a missions conference at my home church in Danville, Illinois, and my grandma was the head of the missions committee, and she said, "Daniel, you got to come here." She's pretty excited about this ministry that was going on in Indianapolis, and I lived in Frankfurt at the time, but close. So she said, "Come on," and I listened, and I'd met Brandon one other time before, but he gave this vision of a ministry called Dat House, and I was just so captivated by what they were doing. So I kind of see Brandon as this guru about neighboring. Like he has a ministry about how to do it. So we were talking about doing a series this summer called Loving Your Neighbor. And I don't feel like I'm a very good neighbor. And so we were talking, and Brandon doesn't see himself as a guru. But he asked me a question. He said, "Are you an introvert or an extrovert?" And I said, "Well, I'm an introvert." And I know he's a big extrovert, and as we were talking, we kind of wanted to get to the place where we wanted to have a really practical series that talked about Jesus' very important command, love your neighbor as yourself, but in some way that wasn't intimidating, and something that would be good for the most introverted of introverts, or the outgoing extroverts, whether you're shy or whatever. We just wanted to focus on a simple kind of an idea to help us encourage each other to be good neighbors who love our neighbors as ourselves. So again, we hope that you find this next month to be really simple and practical. And we're going to, as we start to look into the scriptures, we're going to talk about a time where Jesus had silenced his critics. Now, before this passage that we're looking into, it was some Sadducees. They were a group of Jewish people, and they had an agenda, and they wanted to expose Jesus, so they asked him a question to try to make him look foolish, and Jesus kind of turned the question on its head and made them look foolish, and they walked away. And another group decided they'd take a crack at Jesus, and they had a different agenda. So they were asking questions, and again, this wasn't to really learn. They weren't trying to learn from Jesus. Their motives were more to expose him and try to take what he was going to say and twist it. So this is in Matthew 22:35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question: "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And again, this one could be a trap for him. Jesus needs to answer really carefully. And this is his response to this question. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And that's where he kind of should have stopped. How many commandments did they ask him about? How many? The one greatest, right? But Jesus didn't stop with one. He kept going. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, I'll have to confess that for most of my life, I've read this, I've heard it so many times, dozens at least. And I always kind of used to look at this as commandment 1A and 1B, right? Or 1 and 2. The most important is loving God, and the second most important is loving neighbors. In other words, since they're two separate, distinct commandments, 1 and 2, you can keep one and violate the other. So you could love God and keep that. That's the most important. If you're going to pick the two, pick that one. But if you violate your neighbor, you're just breaking that second most commandment. But let's look at how Jesus, what he actually says. The second is like it. There's a connection. These two commands are related: loving God wholeheartedly, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbor. There's a connection between the two. They're related. Because he says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So the second commandment is second in proximity, not in importance, because it's being connected. It's being connected. These are very important. Jesus had lots of disciples. There were women that followed him around, men. He's famous for having 12 guys. And within the 12 men who followed him, there was a group of three men who were especially close. Their names were Peter, James, and John. And I want to look at what one of those disciples who was spent so much time, knew Jesus intimately, had kind of some of the background. He was there in the behind the scenes. But his name is John, and he wrote later as an older man who had really spent a lot of time with Jesus, knew how Jesus thought. When there were questions, Jesus could go and explain it even more clearly. And this is what John got from Jesus, at writing again as an older man in 1 John 4:12. He says this, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Confession time for me. It's a lot easier for me to love God who I don't see than it is for me to love people who I do see. Like, I already told you, I'm an introvert. Like, I need some time. That doesn't mean I hate people or don't have good people. It just means sometimes if I'm around groups of people, I get a little tired and I need some time by myself to recharge. That's all that means. But I think whether you're an extrovert, introvert, or whatever, maybe for you, you've had that where people, flesh and blood that you see, like, it's really hard to love that person. But God who you don't see, God's not complaining to you. God's not, you can't see him, you can't hear him directly. He doesn't have an audible voice where he's just constantly nagging you for something, or God doesn't put stupid posts on Facebook for you to read and get mad at, you know? God doesn't do that. So sometimes it's hard to love the people who do, right? Well, for me at least it is. Maybe for you, but I will have to say that I think that the God that it's easier for me to love is the God of my imagination. Maybe not the real God, but the God, because, you know, you can't see him, you don't hear him, you know, so you can kind of imagine God to be whoever you want him to be. But it's, again, it's so much harder. I mean, I remember, I talked about this some from this platform, but I remember times early on, I'd be all set on doing my devotions, and somebody would come in and interrupt. Usually it was my mom. She'd knock on my bedroom door. "Hey, Daniel, can I talk to you?" "Leave me alone. I'm doing my devotions. I'm learning how to love Jesus. I'm with God, so leave me, you know, leave me alone." Like, missed the point. I was kind of the God of my imagination, right? A God that I can love and do all this great stuff with and be a jerk to people. Like, that's not God. So, thinking about this and the tension that we have, the people that, again, that Jesus was debating with here, and they're trying to trap him, these people are people who would eventually have Jesus killed. Now, Jesus wasn't just saying, "Hey, everybody's ideal. You're going to love everybody. Everybody's awesome." You know, like it's just everybody's cool. You know, you'll have no problems with everybody. Just look for the good, and everybody's good. And so love everybody because it's easy. It was nothing like that. People killed him. People had him killed. People irritated him. Like, Jesus had those struggles. He knows the struggles that we have too. But let's look into some more that John said. And John gives, it's interesting that John gives a big if here. And this is in 1 John 4:20, 21. Even though Jesus made it clear we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, and it's really important, not everybody does it, even people who follow Jesus. "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." Again, I think John's here saying kind of the same thing. Like, you cannot separate the two. Loving God wholeheartedly, loving your neighbor as yourself. If you hate, if you don't love your brother or sister, you can't really love God. And that is a lot harder. So John, again, John was so clear on this. And he has some harsh and extreme words here about that challenges those people who are reading this letter and us who are reading these this scripture. And it wasn't just John. I want to switch now over to Jesus' brother, James. Jesus' brother James wrote a letter after Jesus had resurrected. about his brother and what he learned from him. And this is one of the things that it says in James 2:8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture. Now, okay, royal law. Like, what is a royal law? When you think of royal, what comes to mind? A king? Maybe a queen, too. We got a queen of England right now. But like royalty, king, queen, somebody who rules. I looked it up, and it just simply said, law belonging to the king. Or maybe we could say queen, too. But law belonging to the king or queen. That's what a royal law is. Something coming from the king of the kingdom. So what is the royal law found in Scripture? Remember what Jesus said the most important one was? What's the most important? What's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God as yourself. What's the second most important command? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, let's look and see what James says. Again, rest of James 2:8, it says, the royal law is love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you're doing right. What's missing there from what James is writing? What's missing? Love the Lord your God. Why would James not write love the Lord? Why is that missing from that? Does it mean it's unimportant to love God? Of course not. You read other things that James wrote and John wrote. Loving God is important. But I think that a lot of the early followers of Jesus recognized one of the dangers that religious people like me can have. When we focus on loving a God who's we can't see, and it's a little bit easy, and then we are really comfortable with that, and we can maybe not love the people who we can see, because that's much harder. And so to push us towards the harder command, push us towards what's really harder. In fact, the Apostle Paul, these aren't in the notes, this morning as one to add, from Galatians 5:14, if you want to check and see if it's really there, the Apostle Paul said, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. So Paul also, the Apostle Paul, broke everything down to one command. Again, what was the most important command? Love the Lord your God. What was the second most important command? So what is Paul going to say? What's the one command? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now again, was Paul saying it's not important to love God? Absolutely not. Read the rest of them. But they were really pushing us, because we knew that they were writing to people who believed in God, loved God, the God at least they imagined. And there's this real push started by Jesus by saying and it was continued by other disciples like John, like his brother James, and like Paul were saying, this is the one thing to keep. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you're doing right. Now, the prophet Isaiah has some, I think, really interesting things. And this kind of leads us into the application, the simple application that Pastor Brandon and I sort of decided we really wanted to encourage and challenge people with for this month. So the prophet Isaiah says, see, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Because we're seeking first the kingdom of God, believing that Jesus is the king, and it's righteous. And then he wrote this in verse 3 of 32. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. Jesus complained about this some when he was walking on the earth and doing ministry with people he could see and hear, that people have eyes but couldn't see and ears but couldn't hear. And that's one of the prayers that Christ had in the other New Testament letters, this thing of having eyes that see and ears that hear. Because just because we have the eyes doesn't mean we'll really see, and just because we have the ears doesn't mean we'll really hear. So what is it that we can do? Hopefully I'm short enough, Brandon, both, yeah, hopefully it is. But we're getting here to, what is it that we can really do? I think as we're looking for, this fits with James. Again, James who said royal law, and the rest of the letter is an application about how to keep the royal law, different ideas for loving your neighbor as yourself, a lot of it is. So he said this in James, he's talking about, he has this theme of being careful with our words. James 3:8, it says this. He's given some graphic illustrations about the danger of a tongue or a mouth. He says this, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Now, James had a really extreme way of saying this, and you can read what he has to say, but one of the things that's clear is these are warnings about what you say with your mouth. Be very careful. Because I think James would have liked this expression that we have sometimes in our culture, and it's this: God gave you just one mouth and two ears, and you should use them like that. Ears, you know, two ears, you should do more listening than talking. And I think maybe we could even add two eyes, too. God gave you two ears and two eyes and only one mouth. So be careful with what you say. And also, it seems as though we should do at least twice as much listening as talking. Easy for me to say, right? I'm talking. That's all I'm doing today. That's all I'm doing, right? Hypocrite. Ah, yeah, you're probably right. But the application that we really want to encourage everybody on is this. Listen. Listen to your neighbors. That's not too intimidating, is it? I mean, it might be a little scary maybe to walk up and introduce and learn somebody's name for the first time. But listen. We want to encourage people. This is something that introverts can do, or extroverts. People who are really shy can do this, or people who are really outgoing. Maybe people who are outgoing might tend to talk, but it's time to listen. Maybe if you're really anxious, it's something that you can do is just be there and listen. Or if you're really calm, listen. This is something that anyone can do. You don't have to be a good, smooth talker to listen. You don't have to have a charming personality to listen either. This is something all of us can do because God gave us one mouth and two ears. And I can tell you that some people out there are just desperate to have somebody listen to them. If we look for this and pray for opportunities, I think we'll be amazed by how many people are just desperate to have somebody hear them, or maybe to have somebody see them and notice them. So, again, that's what Pastor Brandon and I have decided on our challenge and encouragement for this month, is to be in our neighborhoods and to be paying attention and trying to listen to people. So this is today just a practical call to love, that it's from Jesus and from those other followers. Love your neighbor as yourself. So let's practice by listening. Let's practice by praying for our neighbors, like legit praying for them. God will bless them. God will do so. If they're going through something, that God will help them. Let's practice this by looking for opportunities to listen. Maybe we notice somebody struggling with something in the yard. Maybe we can, whatever it is. But let's be looking with our two eyes for opportunities. And let's show some practical love to the neighbors. We're going to close here with just a vision that Jesus had of what his church is supposed to look like, those people who follow him. This is the vision that he has of what we're to be known as, what our people are to see. And it's pretty simple, too. John 13:34, he says this: "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if," here's that word again, "if." We don't take this for granted. This is a calling. "If you love one another." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come this morning in Jesus' holy name. Jesus taught us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we pray, may your kingdom come and your will be done in our neighborhoods as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, remind us that the King's law is to love your neighbor as yourself, and help us to live it out. In this broken world, it can be so hard to love the brothers and sisters we see. And so we look to you for help, remembering that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we need you. We need your help to carry out Jesus' call to love one another as Christ loved. Give us eyes to see and ears that hear the opportunities you provide for us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and quick to love. May we live in such a way that we are known for how we love one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now at this point, we are going to ask our usher.